broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, I love hearing your voice every Saturday morning. I just thank you very much. We're going to have a mostly sunny skies today, so isolated showers mainly in the morning, some scattered showers in the afternoon. On the leeward side, a little bit of rain, not as much. 87 degrees is our high, fortunately not 89 like yesterday. The winds are out of the east, 15 to 20 miles per hour. And it's going to be a lovely day for a round of golf. Of course, you'd like to play too, right? Because you've been watching the U.S. Open at the Los Angeles Country Club, and you're thinking, God, I should really get out there and play. Also playing, just so you know, the Mayer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. They're in Belmont, Michigan. And LET is playing the Amundi German Masters in Berlin, Germany. But of course, we're going to be focusing a lot on the USGA today. So that's what's going on. But here's some tee times, all right, before I get all excited about the US Open at the LA Country Club. The Wailea Gold Course has a 10:20, Emerald a 10:48, Blue Course has a 9 o'clock. And Makaha East has an 836. Great course. So is Eva Beach Golf Club. They have an 838 and a 926. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 832, 910. Turtle Bay, there's an 840, a 9 o'clock, and a 10 o'clock, in case you got to get all the way out there. Hawaii Kai has an 830, a 1010, and 11 o'clock. Kauai Lagoons, 856 and a 940. And Poipu Bay, everybody listen, we're giving away two rounds of golf because tomorrow's Father's Day, perfect Father's Day gifts, two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay, where the Round Robin group is going out, as well as the Four Aces. There's a tee time at 9 o'clock and a 10:20 if you'd like to get out and play. On the Big Island, Makalei has an 8:30, a 9:22, and Volcano Golf Club has an 8:50 and a 9:28. And if you'd like to listen online, it's radiogolfclub.com, and then you go to the listen link, and you have the option to listen to the live stream, which is, of course, happening right now, like it is on the radio. Or if you miss the show, you can always go back and listen to the podcast, wherever you get your pods, or you can listen to the one that's on our website. So that's that. Now, let's go, because we've got some great guests. Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week, and author of Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force. Susan Hess, owner and designer, Golf Teeny. Michael Patrick Shields is host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, and he is living in Los Angeles now, and he is live from the U.S. Open at the Los Angeles Golf Club. I can't wait to find out what he has to say. And Gary Williams, host of Five Clubs Golf on YouTube and podcast, wherever you get yours, including Apple. You may know the name Gary Williams from his morning drive work. He was the first person with a golf talk show. Fabulous, fabulous guests. And he's with us next. We'll be right back. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Gary Williams, host Five Clubs Golf on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, Signature Golf Group. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, how are you?
Did
I hear you say that the Four Aces are playing somewhere tomorrow?
Yes.
That would mean that DJ, Patrick Reed, Pat Perez, and Peter Uihlein are, aren't they the Four Aces?
I thought they were the Four Aces.
The
You know, they could be on Kauai right now at Poipu Bay. You never know who's going to drop in and who's going to drop out. And I'm blown away. Okay, let's kind of like lay the foundation, as it were. Los Angeles Country Club, Golf Club. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you thought about. You must have been on property for maybe the first time. Of course, you're Gary Williams. Maybe you've been there many times.
I have been there before, and Danielle, I made a point of getting out there. I went out there last Saturday and spent 6 hours on the golf course on Sunday, and took notes on every hole, talked to the players who were there. It was kind of a first impression day for Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas. So I walked with those guys on Sunday morning of last week and was paying attention to you know, again, first blush thoughts on you know, holes, lines, angles, green complexes. And I played the golf course, but look, it had been a couple of years, and it's a totally different environment. Now it's set up for a major championship. I love the place. I think it's an extraordinary experience to be there. It's 320 acres in the heart of Beverly Hills, valued at $8 billion if it was ever put up for commercial and residential development. I mean, it is, in terms of a plot of land, it is only kind of south in terms of value to Central Park. So it's an amazing thing to consider where it is. I think the golf course is fabulous. I think that they are relying on some things that are, you know, difficult, because so much of it is about atmospherics and barometric pressure and moisture and things that you just take for granted naturally as we mortals who try to play the game at a modest level. If that stuff doesn't exist, and I'm talking about an absence of moisture in the ground for guys like this with wide fairways, they're going to eviscerate the place. And they did that on Thursday. But I think change came on Friday, and I think today is going to be a fascinating day.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. But it seems to me that the complaints about Thursday echo from the past, when the USGA sets up a golf course and lets guys get kind of, you know, used to it. And then they sock it to them. So they should have been just like grateful that they had an opportunity to, you know, take in the course. Look what happened after day two. Look at the people who've missed the cut. I mean, Phil Mickelson, Jordan Spieth, Max Homa, Nick Taylor, Justin Rose, Adam Scott, Keegan Bradley, Sungjae Im, Jason Day, and Justin Thomas shot an 81.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, you're right. It's staggering. And I think, and I appreciate what the USGA and the challenge that they have, because we're living in a time where, you know, these players have done a lot of complaining over the last decade. And look, there have been some missteps on the part of the USGA. I'm not here in defense of them wholeheartedly. What I'm saying is I have an appreciation for the challenge of trying to set up a major championship venue, in particular this one, which is most closely associated with a score, this identification and a persona that the U.S. Open is supposed to be the hardest. We don't think about what guys shoot at the Open Championship. We don't pay that much attention to what the winning score is at the PGA Championship. We've seen guys shoot, you know, a ton under par at the Masters Tournament, and we've celebrated all of it. If it's done at the U.S. Open, it is time to you know, pitch a tent and start complaining. And that is something that is, it is a hard thing to do in today's day and age, where everybody has a voice through social media. I think it can be useful at times. I think it can be a lot of noise on other occasions. But I can tell you, Danielle, I was 14 years old, and I walked the first day of the 1980 U.S. Open, and I watched every single shot, all 63 of them, that Tom Weisskopf shot that day. And guess what? Three groups behind him, Jack Nicklaus did the same thing. And it was why I fell in love with being around events like this. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Does this happen all the time? I said to my dad. And by the way, those two rounds of 63, which were the second and third rounds of 63 in a U.S. Open after Johnny Miller had shot the 63 in 1973, Jack Nicklaus won that golf tournament at 8 under par. It would not shock me if the winning score tomorrow evening is 8 under par.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, well, you know, everybody was, when it was 62 and Ricky Fowler breaks the record, followed by Xander Schauffele, 62. Everybody's like, wait a second, they've never shot a 62 before in a U.S. Open. This is crazy.
No, it was the whole day. There wasn't one round of 80 on Thursday. That's never happened in the history of the U.S. Open. You had six rounds of 65 or lower. That had never happened before. And the overall scoring average for day one was the lowest scoring average in a round in the history of the U.S. Open. So I understand, like, oh, my God, this isn't hard enough. It's reliant on some things, like I said, and I think they're going to get the recipe today that is going to be the most exacting examination that these guys have faced so far this week. And if you look at some of the pin positions, and for all your listeners out there who are going to settle in later today, hopefully after playing some golf, that the pins on 3, 5, 7, 11, 15 are so dicey. They're so on the edge. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Right. And then we're going to say that wasn't fair.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, we never cut him a break. And I was, you know, John Rahm making the cut on the number. He must have been shocked.
Shocked and angered. He was, he came off the golf course, and it was subtle. It wasn't anything super demonstrative, but as he was walking into the scoring tent, you know, he slapped his hand on the sign that you know was right outside the door. He was ticked because he didn't do what Scottie Scheffler did do. Those two guys made the turn on opposite sides of the golf course. John made it onto the second nine, and Scottie Scheffler made it onto what was the front nine simultaneously. And Scottie Scheffler got to 5 under par. Scottie and John were one shot separated from each other as they made the turn. And John Rahm went in the opposite direction on the harder side. So he shot himself out of the golf tournament, and Scottie Scheffler played his way right into the middle of it. And John knew what he had done.
Yeah, that must be totally frustrating. I mean, we all have days like that. If I'd only done, if I could have done, you know, and there's no, there, you can't do anything about it. You're done. It's your score, you know. Some people thought he missed the cut, but he made the cut on the number, so he's still in. Colin Morikawa's 5 bogeys and 6 birdies must have, you know, it's like, I can't get this right. But it was great to see the USGA out watering, you know. They're making so the course doesn't get away from them. And then you talk about Mother Nature. I love the conversations about the marine layer, you know, that it wouldn't go away. And then all of a sudden the sun came out, and then, you know, it's going to get parched. It's going to be firm. It's going to be fast. Exactly what the USGA likes to do.
And Danielle, I'll tell you, being there for a couple of days, and it was overcast on all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all day Monday. And then on Tuesday, when these guys were continuing their preparation, it got sunny and it got breezy. And I'm just telling you that being on that ground, literally on the ground, that golf course flips to being not soft, but you know, it's just kind of what it is, to all of a sudden kind of this crispy, dusty, springy environment, which you're like, wow, how did that happen? It happens in the blink of an eye. And now that they had yesterday afternoon and they had today with sun, as soon as the sun came up, it is blue skies and it is sunny. And the fact is that the last groups, they're not going to tee off for another 5.5 hours.
Wow.
So they're going to walk onto that first tee, and that golf course is going to be firmer They've experienced it the entire week. So that's why I think that, look, it's 4 days is a long time, and now they're seeing this golf course literally evolve and change under their feet before their eyes. And that's why I think today is going to be such an interesting day to watch, because even late yesterday on the 15th hole, that little cupcake of a par three that has produced three holes in one already this week, there were the same shots produced from the morning wave into the afternoon wave and a totally different result. Three balls hit just beyond the pin onto that mound that looks like there's been an elephant buried behind where that pin was yesterday, and those balls were treated back down to the pin. John Rahm and Xander Schauffele hit the precise same shots, and they propelled over that mound and put them in a position to literally have to putt away from the pin. That's how different the golf course got within the course of a couple of hours.
That's amazing. Oh, it's going to be, it's going to be interesting to watch. What were your thoughts when you heard Brooks Koepka say he doesn't like LACC, doesn't like the blind tee shots?
He kind of intimated that. I was in his press conference on Tuesday, and he said, I'm not a big fan of blind tee shots. And I will tell you that if you heard the full context of what he had to say, he was not speaking in a tone of exasperation or in a demonstrative way. I thought he was just saying, I don't particularly like blind tee shots. And the one thing I would say to him that he also expounded on as far as an absence of a resistance to scoring, saying, I asked him the question why he likes the U.S. Open so much on Tuesday, and he said, well, I look at the tournaments that I've won, and they've usually been in single digits. Primarily that's true, but two of his five major wins, he's gotten to 16 under par. He did it at Belrive at the PGA Championship when he held off Tiger Woods, and he did it at Erin Hills when he won his first major in the U.S. Open. And, oh, by the way, a golf course with super wide fairways and where it was an onslaught of scoring, including what looked to be the first 62 in a major championship that was Justin Thomas who had to settle for 63. So I will tell you that, yes, he said those things, but I didn't take them as him, just kind of barbecuing the place. Uh-huh. He was frustrated. He didn't take advantage of – he got off to a very sluggish start on Thursday. I don't think that he's – the way he said it was nearly as inflammatory as it's kind of being portrayed in print.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, because it – I thought, wow, that's kind of sour apples or, whatever.
Right. I didn't take it that way. I think he was frustrated. And, again, he wasn't being – He wasn't jumping up and talking about blind tee shots after two rounds. He made the comment on Tuesday that he wasn't a big fan of it, and all he was doing is reiterating that point. And the fact is, he's not alone. Most elite players don't particularly like it. You don't see it on a lot of the golf courses they play on the PGA Tour, but you do see it occasionally in major championships. And Danielle, as you're going to see it a handful of times when you go around the Open Rota when they go over there for the Open Championship. That's just part of the experience.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love old courses. I just love old courses.
Yes.
And this is an old course. This is, it was, 1928?
Yeah, and if you go back, the actual original routing was 1921. A gentleman, Herbert Fowler, and George Thomas supervised that construction, and then he went off and kind of built his own reputation by designing Riviera and Bel Air Country Club right there in Los Angeles proper, and came back, and the membership is like, wait, hold on, can we have what they have? And so literally 6 years later, they allowed him to make significant alterations to the presentation of the golf course, which Gil Hance and Jim Wagner, Jeff Shackelford restored about 13 years ago. But yeah, this is a historic old membership and club, and the golf course itself is approaching 100 years old.
Do you think the members will want to play the course as it's set up on Sunday?
maybe once, just for the humor of it all. I will tell you this. I think they all very much look forward to getting back what is theirs. This is really stepping out for this membership. They're an ultra-private kind of secret society that have not sought attention. And this is a real departure for them. I will tell you this, and I can confirm this, that they actually asked the question, can we buy all the tickets and just distribute them to our friends? And it's like, it doesn't work that way.
There's only, what, 22,000 people a day?
Exactly.
You know? I mean, so you don't really have the U.S. Open feel because it's a limited field for spectators. You know, you don't have the roars of the crowd and everything.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't, and I that's a very good point, and it's one of the things that from a visual and television presentation standpoint, it's been flat. It just has. I don't think it's just because these guys – look, usually when you have a lot of fireworks, a U.S. Open is usually just a, you know, it's a baton death march of just, you know, trying to make pars. And these guys went out, and there were birdies all over the place, and there wasn't a great deal of atmosphere. A couple things. You're right. You know, 22,000 is like an intimate boutique-y U.S. Open experience. Then the other part is there are parts of this golf course that are hard to get around, and so there's not a lot of foot traffic. There's not a lot of large galleries. 5, 6, and 7 is like a choke point on the golf course back in that part of the canyon. On the front nine, they're great holes, but you can't view them. And so you're not seeing the type of, you know, like large galleries walking around. It's a very corporate U.S. Open. And I hope that they can max out the number of people who are going to be on the grounds today. Look, L.A. fans, they show up at the third inning of a Dodger game and they leave in the eighth. And maybe it's like that. It's going to be that way this week for the U.S. Open. They're going to show up on Saturday and maybe not even come on Sunday. Today's the day. I expect today to deliver more than the first two have by far.
Well, we've got a great leaderboard. I mean, having Ricky Fowler at 10 under, birdieing half the holes he's played, that's incredible. Wyndham Park is just one shot back. Then we have Xander Schauffele, too, just one shot back, with Rory McIlroy, two shots back. Harris English, people, is 7 under, and Dustin Johnson's right there. So when I say Harris English, it's like I just did not expect to see Harris English at the top of the leaderboard, you know? And it was like, it's great. I was a big Harris English fan.
Yeah, he's in Daniel. You know, to talk a little bit about, you know, context of him and where he's been, you know, not long after he made his first Ryder Cup team, you know, he found himself having to deal with surgery because he had a torn labrum, and that pretty much took him out all of last year. And so he's building back, and there have been good signs from him, you know, late spring into the early part of the summer. You know, you'd have to look at the 2016 PGA when he got off to as good a start as he has this week. He's a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
This is a monstrous opportunity for him. It'll be interesting to see how he plays on the weekend. You know, that leaning on the experience of being around the intensity and the atmosphere of the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits should benefit him. But you mentioned, you know, all these stars at the top of the leaderboard. And then, you know, I would add, I mentioned Scottie Scheffler playing his way right in the middle of it. It's the only place he knows, you know, where to be going into the weekend, and that is in contention.
Right.
His name looms large on kind of the second page of that leaderboard, and I would also mention the name Cameron Smith. He's at 4 under par. He's in this thing.
Yeah.
Cameron Smith was off the pace at the Old Course last year and won what I thought was one of the great road wins. I'm not talking about the road hole in his up and down, which is one of the great up and downs of all time. Everybody wanted Rory to win, and Cam Smith won. That guy has got the bona fides, and it would not surprise me at all if he's right in the middle of this thing come late Sunday.
Yeah, I hear you. Just because Wyndham Clark isn't like, you know, who is he?
Yeah, you know, Wyndham Clark is somebody who I got to know when he was a junior, and he, you know, was grown up in the state of Colorado and went off to Oklahoma State and was, you know, he was a prodigy. And unfortunately, something happened in his life that was very debilitating. His mother got sick. Oh. His mother died of breast cancer. Oh. That was part of his college experience. And so he made the decision to transfer to the University of Oregon and played very well there. won a Pac-12 title. You know, he was somebody who everyone assumed was going to go out and make a good living playing professional golf. It's taken him longer. And the primary reason it's taken him longer is that he has struggled to be his own biggest fan, and that he's had a self-defeating attitude throughout, you know, the first kind of chapter of his professional career. But in talking to people who I trust, whether it's industry people or players, he is a top 20 talent. That's not hyperbole. He's that good of a talent. And he broke through and he won on a major championship venue a little bit over a month ago in Charlotte at the Quail Hollow Club, which will be hosting the PGA again in 2025. Wyndham Clark has a chance to be on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. I really believe that. And part of that is not only his performance, but the belief that his peer group has in him. This is the deep end of the pool for him. He's never been in this position in a major. He has a very modest major championship record in terms of only making two cuts in a handful of starts. He's got big, big game. He's come a long, long way in terms of his belief system. It'll be a really interesting watch to see how he handles himself starting late this afternoon.
Gary Williams, you are amazing. Gary Williams, host of Five Clubs Golf. He's on YouTube. You can find him on YouTube, Five Clubs Golf. And wherever you get your podcasts, you can get the podcast, Signature Golf Group, Five Clubs Golf. Gary Williams, thank you for being inside the clubhouse and taking us there. I really felt like I was at LACC. Thank you.
Danielle, it's always a pleasure being with you. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the U.S. Open.
Thank you. You too. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha.
We're coming back. Michael Patrick Shields, he's probably strolling through the clubhouse with maybe kind of early for a drink, but you never know. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Happy Father's Day, and to make it the happiest Father's Day for the golfer in your world, you can win two rounds at Poipu Bay. That's a $500 value, and the number to call is 808-545-1111. All you've got to be is the ninth caller, and, you know, if you call in once, you can call in twice. Yes, ninth caller wins. 808-545-1111.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, grip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, host Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Did I really hear you say that it's kind of early for a drink?
as well. Of course, I. What's wrong with me?
I mean, I come on. I mean, you know, there are people all over the Hawaiian Islands this morning having themselves a breakfast Mai Tai.
You're right. You're right. You know, and when you're right, you're right. Oh my goodness. Have you been inside the Los Angeles Country Club?
I have now, because the world got a chance, or at least 20,000 of them, got a chance to go into a place that if you were here in Beverly Hills, you would never know it's there. It's a huge piece of property in the most valuable place on earth, probably, certainly in Michigan, I mean in the United States. And you drive right past 36 holes and not know that they are there because there's trees and fences and partly neighborhoods. But now, wow. 20,000 people have been able to go in, and instead of the 40,000 that the U.S. Open usually allows, which I heard you refer to earlier, and I see that some people are kind of miffed about it because on television it looks like nobody's there. One of the tweeters said, well, the Live Tour merger worked because nobody came to the golf tournament. But by the way, I digress for just a minute,
sure.
Because I was with Doug Sullivan yesterday. He's with the Southern California Golf Association. He was the operations director for Pro Tour Hawaii all those years ago.
Yes.
And he and I walked the golf course and we said, do you think the Live Tour will merge with Pro Tour Hawaii? Would that happen?
My goodness, that takes us. That's a lot of scamming.
Yeah, back takes us back 25 years or whatever. But by now, I guess that's an inside joke. But
yeah, inside the golf world, yeah. There's a lot
Sandy
of
Sandy and Tina. Sandy and Tina, if you're listening, it's Michael Patrick, and what a time that was.
And what a time. But you know, Los Angeles Country Club, it's $250,000, right? $250,000. Just the initiation fee. Just, and celebrities, poof, don't apply. We really don't want you here. It's
30,000 annual, and you have to wear tailored trousers. I've seen some of the membership guidelines. You have to be very, you know, it's very staid and old-fashioned in that regard. And what is kind of unusual, too, that people get to have a look at it now, is that they're taking pictures that no one else ever would have seen, because part of the club deal is you can never post pictures of inside the place. And so my son Harrison, who's 25, he bought a T-shirt at the U.S. Open the other day, and he heard about these rules about no posting, no taking pictures, and he said, wait a minute, the shirt has a picture of the clubhouse on it. Should I tear it up?
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Shred it. Yeah, I mean, no cash is used on the property outside of paying the caddies. No tipping, by the way. You pay the caddies. You don't tip anyone. Members are responsible for all charges their guests incur. No photos or videos of the club on social media. No athletic clothes or apparel with slogans. No headphones. No earbuds, no clogs, no flip-flops, no changing shoes in the parking lot. Men must wear a sport coat in the clubhouse after 6. That's not unusual. No shorts while playing golf. Tailored pants only. Well,
Tailored.
But maybe the craziest rule of all, LACC members and visitors can only make phone calls from either their parked car or an enclosed phone booth in the locker room.
Yeah, and you know what? I've seen that at other clubs, too, to tell you the truth.
Oh.
And it's kind of nice. I saw that at Indian Creek in Miami, and Brentwood Country Club down the street here, too, has a similar policy. And I don't know if you've talked about this or not, but the Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams and just won the NBA title, with the Nuggets, and he owns the Avalanche. Did you see that he bought the golf shop out this week as a luxury box for players from his teams? And it's right behind the first tee and the 10th tee. Yes. And that's why when you come to walk this event, you can't get near the first tee or the 10th tee. It's all roped off, and there's nobody there except for Mr. Kroenke and his players from his teams. He also bought the entire section of the bleachers to the right of the 18th hole, that giant stand. He bought the whole thing for his family and friends. And so I heard your guest earlier talking about the fact that the club wanted to buy all the tickets. Well, they almost did in terms of access to the first tee and the 18th green. And Stan Kroenke has it all. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is wild. Money, money, money. Have you seen, Tiger Woods' son, Charlie, was on the ground cruising around?
I saw that he was playing at Riviera the other day, and swing looked pretty good. And
really,
the celebrities don't get to join for the most part, but they do kind of live on the course. People have asked, when I was standing with Doug Sullivan yesterday, he had a lanyard on, so people were asking him where things were. And somebody walked up and said, "Where is Lionel Richie's house?" Over there beyond the 15th hole, walk down there and you see it. And I said, "What happens? Are they over there partying all night long?"
Yeah, right.
And, dancing on the ceiling? Is that what they're doing over there?
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, and you can't see the Playboy Mansion anymore because that's gone.
Oh, you're kidding. But Wait a minute. I was going to bring up Hugh Hefner. He was not, they didn't want him to be a member. He wanted to be a member. They wouldn't let him. But they said that what was amusing for many of the members would be when they could see, his place and the pool, to see who was passed out from the night before around the pool.
Yeah, Doug Sullivan told me he played there once, the guy I just mentioned, who was my pal from Pro Tour Hawaii. And he said the caddy gave him a 6-iron to the green, and Doug said, "Now let me have a 3-wood." And the caddy said, but you don't need that much club. He said, it'll be all right. So he purposely hit the 3-wood 60 yards over the green so that he could look for his ball next to the Playboy Mansion.
Naughty.
Peek through the gate.
Naughty.
I thought it was genius idea, but all he could hear were those monkeys and peacocks, and they had a little zoo apparently on the property there.
Are those animals still wandering around?
They were a couple years ago when I took a walk through the neighborhood over there. I'm not sure now, but it is a strange thing to be walking through that Charing Cross street and hear squeaks and noises coming out of that place. But
so what happened to the Playboy house? What happened to Hugh's house?
Well, somebody was so rich, they bought the property and they tore it down and they're building their own mansion there.
Oh, of course.
It's not too far from the Aaron Spelling Mansion. Maybe you read about that.
No.
It's 55,000 square feet on 4 acres. It's $155 million if you want to buy it. It's for sale right now. But the property taxes each year are $100,000. The master suite is 7,500 square feet. The master suite. I don't know how big your house is, but that's the bedroom.
Yes,
that's
know.
All.
It'll fit right in there.
123-room chateau on the 14th hole.
My goodness.
Just waiting for you if the price is right.
The price is right. Hey, are you...
Hey, by
the
way,
yes?
Stuart, it's weird because, there's no parking, so they actually tell people just walk to the golf course, which you can do. Because Rodeo Drive and the Beverly Hilton and the Beverly Hills Hotel and my apartment, for that matter, are all walking distance. So if you feel you want to go to Spago and have yourself dinner, you just walk from the golf course right out the corner across Santa Monica Boulevard, up Rodeo Drive, and you're right in the middle of Gucci and all the other stops and the Beverly Wilshire. And I mean, literally, it's right there next to the golf course.
Wait
so I know that's one of the things that they've been talking about is that it is literally in Beverly Hills, even though it's called Los Angeles Country Club.
Yeah, but what's amazing is that it is so close to everything and yet no one can see it.
Yeah. One time I went on top of the roof, the parking garage at the Beverly Hilton, because I said, I bet you from there I could see. And I could see some of the golf course from up there, but otherwise, ground level, never.
Right. You'd never know it's there, right? That's what everybody says. Yep. You'd never know there's a golf course in the middle of the Beverly Hills. But when you were talking about that, it made me think, wow, I want to do that walk. And you're living in the midst of it.
Yeah, I walk to the course every day because there's no place to park over there. And, you know, there are plenty of nice stops you can make along the way to have yourself a sherbet just to break up the walk. But we need it, too, because there's been this thing you referred to earlier called the June gloom and the May gray, where you don't see the sun, you don't see the sky. It's like living under a silver dome for 2 months.
You're talking about the marine layer.
Yeah, sometimes later in the day it breaks up a little bit, but for the most part you're seeing what looks like the British Open and at that golf course more than sunny Southern California.
Yeah, goodness. Yeah, you know, are you going back up today?
Yes, I am, because I can just walk there and do it. And it's a nice stretch of the legs. I saw poor Adam Hadley. He plays like me. He threw his club into the woods the other day.
Oh, really?
He got tackled, as you know, in Toronto, trying to celebrate on the green.
But yes.
He whipped his club. He was frustrated, and he threw it into the woods. And then he had what they called a walk of shame. He had to walk there, dig through the woods, and get his club out. But at least he didn't make his caddy do it.
Right. You know, you've got to go and pick up what you've thrown away. Goodness gracious. That must be embarrassing, though, because after, you know, it's kind of a reaction, knee-jerk. Throw a club. Shouldn't be. All right. So I just know. Now, are people able to go into the Los Angeles Country Club clubhouse? Are they?
No.
No.
No, you can't. You can't even get near it. You can't get near it. There's huge bleachers on each side of the first fairway and 18th green, and it's like an arena almost. And so you can, if you have access, you could be in one of those temporary structures that have luxury boxes. But for the average person, it's pretty tough. Like, I wanted to follow players walking with them.
Yes.
And you really, it's almost impossible because there are hills and there are rope lines and there are places that, you know, you just can't really get to. So you kind of have to pick your spot a little bit and bunker in and enjoy it. And they have little villages with concessions built all around. By the way, the hot dogs are only $8, which is about what a Dodger dog costs over at Dodger Stadium. And the beer is half price of what it is at Dodger Stadium. And oh, by the way, the LA Open over at Riviera, beer was $16. At the US Open, it's $8.
See,
so I do appreciate that.
It's a bargain. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Because you want a breakfast beer with a you know, breakfast burrito.
Yeah, you know, and nothing that you've brought up has been talked about before. With Gary Williams, we were just sort of talking about the tournament, and I knew that with you, Michael Patrick Shields, I would be able to talk about the society of it all, you know?
Yes. He's focused on golf. I'm focused on partying.
Yes, with the drink.
And celebrity watching and the glitterati of it all, the paparazzi.
And I still have to ask you this again. You know, in the game shows, are those people playing for the, are they actors, or is it just for the, like, Judge Judy shows that the guys that they're not really people from off the street talking about their case? It's actors.
Depends on the show. Price is Right. The people that you see on the stage have been auditioned. And the other day, I can't say too much about it, but I was involved in a new singing contest show. And I can tell you that not only the people on the stage that made the finals, but everybody in the audience was paid audience.
Wow. God, this is, I mean, I find out such fascinating things from you. It must be interesting for you.
Oh, I'm learning every second of it, you know, and it isn't to say that, you know, it's terrible and they're not all the same. Some of them are different, but much of what you see deserves in Hollywood a second look.
A second look. Yes. So what show are you going to be on next?
Or you just close your eyes and enjoy the magic, which is, you know, the willful suspension of disbelief.
That's the only way to do it.
You go into the movie theater, you go to see a play, you know those people on the stage are standing on a stage, but somehow your mind allows you to just sit back and enjoy it.
It's perfect.
And that's the deal. I was in a movie, what is it, a TV show, I don't know, the other day, downtown L.A. It was in the Orpheum Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did all day in a tuxedo was be in the crowd, and there was an orchestra on the stage, And somewhere amongst us was a Russian spy. And the orchestra played, and they had all these cameras on the boom sweeping all around, and did take after take after take after take. And I spent the day listening to an orchestra downtown L.A. Not too bad.
That's paid? Were you paid to play?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
I'm an actor, Danielle.
Yes, I've got it. Well, Michael Patrick Shields is a renowned writer. He has, how many books have you written already?
I think about 9, I guess.
Yes.
By the way, we just had President George Herbert Walker Bush's birthday last week, the late president. And yes. So I know he loved the USGA and loved the U.S. Open. And
yes.
So I call him Mr. President is the name of the book. If you want to know what it's like to play golf with a former president, and he was an awful lot of fun. And Ken Rayner was his fishing buddy and golf pro. And so if you're curious about it, you can get it.
Michael Patrick Shields, host of Michigan's Big Show. He's a wonderful, really, really smart guy who knows how to have a really good time.
That requires the willful suspension of disbelief right there.
Michael Patrick, thank you for being inside the clubhouse with me. It's so much fun.
So long from Beverly Hills and the U.S. Open.
And talk soon. Thank you. Aloha. Susan Hess, owner and designer of Golf Teeny, is with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I love reading. Susan Hess is owner, designer of Golf Teeny. This is the way it was written here. Golf Teeny unknowingly erupted 18 years ago when owner and designer Susan Hess couldn't find any stylish women's golf clothes to wear on the course. Then in May 2023, so 18 years ago, right? Golf Teeny, a rapidly growing, she's been here 18 years and she's already, welcome into the clubhouse, Susan.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And you've been doing this for 18 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. You're so successful right now. And someone decided to say that you are rapidly growing. And I thought, yeah, okay, she's already growing. She's grown. And, you're bigger. You're wonderful. I love your clothes. Beautiful
well,
styles.
Thank you.
I don't know where you get the fabric, but it looks gorgeous. I love the way you're putting the pieces together. So tell us how this all started.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I always like to say it was so easy. And when people say I'm rapidly growing, I am now, but it took a long time to rapidly grow.
Okay.
So just we'll start there. I took up golf. My grandparents taught me how to play. They played all over the world until they were 90, and I loved my grandparents. I never played as a kid. I was doing other sports, but whenever we visited, we went to the driving range, went to the golf course, or we went to putt-putt. Like, that is what we did with them.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, a wonderful memory. And so I was lucky enough to be a stay-home mom for a while after my first career. And I wanted to do something different. I just felt like I needed to do something different. So I went to a county course, and I joined these nine-holers. Took 5 hours. And I took up golf. And because I knew how to swing the club, like, I was like, okay, right, for just starting. And it kind of came back. And the next thing I knew, I got the bug, and I was playing nine, which took 5 hours with these ladies. And then I was, yeah, really. And then I found these other two ladies that we could play like nine in an hour and a half. So I would play another nine, and then I'd rush to get my kids at school, and it'd be 10 at night, and I was wearing this ugly golf outfit, and I had been to every sporting event, homework, dinner, the whole thing, three kids. So I was like, okay, I like this game, but I can't wear this stuff.
I know, I'm laughing because I know exactly what you're saying. When I started the show and, you know, started getting serious about playing, I look at the clothes and it's like, it's men's clothes cut down, but they still don't give us any shape. It's like I'm in a men's shirt that's a box. They've just made it smaller.
It was horrible.
It looked horrible.
It was really horrible.
Yes.
So and I just wanted a black sport. Like, I just wanted a, like, a little shorter and not crazy short, but like, an 18 years ago it was different, but like, just something simple. Like, everything came up super high, and it was pleated, and, like, just really not good. I always say if I had found that squirt, I'd be a really good golfer because I could have focused on my game.
Yes.
Maybe on tour.
No.
So, yeah.
I got it, because women, if you don't feel good, right, if you don't feel good in what you're walking around on the planet with, about your clothes, it sounds silly, but you feel good in your skin. You got to feel good in your clothes. It's like a second skin, so it's got to be right. Yes.
Right. So I lived in New Jersey at the time, and I have no background in really in business or design at all. I always liked fashion. My mom was really into fashion. I liked fashion, and that's all I, like, knew. Like, I could dress my friends. Like, I could say, oh, that looks good. I could see what looked good on different people. So I think that's, like, why I'm still here.
And I
was in sales, so I think that helped me sell what I was making. But I originally just – I went to New York City. I found a sample maker in the garment district. I found a sample maker in the back of a magazine, went in there, like, I'm from Ohio, didn't know that the garment district even existed. You can make an entire company in 8 blocks, just so anyone knows. But, like, I didn't know that. So, I found this lady. She told me where to go buy black fabric because I just wanted a black skirt. And I walked by a ribbon store, and that was like a candy store to me. Like, it was just beautiful. I'd never seen anything like it. Like, three floors of ribbons.
Yes.
And I went in because it drew me in. And so I bought a black and white ribbon, a sporty little ribbon. I thought, well, maybe she can sew it down the side of the skirt that I'm having her create. And she said, come back in a week. So I came back in a week. And this is before texting. I remember calling my friend saying, and this is all also between like 10 and 3. Like, I had to drop my kids and and then get back in time. So I would, like, drive in like crazy. So I went back. I got this score, and it was great. Like, it's everything that I wanted. Like, because I told her, I took in a couple scores that I didn't like and said, can you change this, 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 and this, and then make it? And she did.
Wow.
Sherry, yeah.
Yeah.
So I wore it to my little group, the old ladies, which I'm saying that now, like their age probably now, but they didn't notice. But the two younger girls that were playing really fast with after, they're like, I love your scores. Yes. Where'd you get it?
Yes.
So they said, can you make me one? And I said, sure. And I thought, okay, well, I want another one. So I drive in, do my same thing, go to the fabric store, go to the ribbon store, come back in a week, and they have scores. And I have another one. And so this just kind of went on. My friends started hearing that I was making skorts, which I wasn't making them. I was just picking fabrics and ribbons. And I had one, just one silhouette, and it had pockets and a back pocket. And I put the ribbon on that. And each one I kind of made better because I was learning like what I needed to change or do. And I'd have her tweak it. And this just like long story short, like it just was happening. So I didn't have a name. I didn't have a company. I wasn't thinking about selling them. I wasn't thinking about how much it was costing me to make them. Like, I wasn't thinking about everything you think about when you start a business. I could do it so much better now from the start.
Of course.
So, yes. I mean, anything you can do better the second time. But I feel like I, like, learned a lot from that. Like, just making the different ones in the design part. And then someone knocked on my door. My friends had been wearing them to a golf lesson, and the pro's wife was a merchandiser at another country club. And she said, can I sell them in my country club?
Wow.
Like, knocked on my home.
Yes.
Like, knocked on my door. And she saw them hanging, like, had a rolling rack hanging in my living room and with these skorts on them. And she picked out 6, and I didn't even know what like to do. I'm like, well, I don't have like a tag yet. Like, and like, I knew I needed, you know, it just had the size in it. And I said, well, give me a week. So, and let me just like figure this out. So this is when the name came from. I grabbed my friend and we went to a martini bar and we were trying to think of a name. And there was this huge neon martini like right in front of me, but we were writing down all the names on napkins. And at the time, like, martinis were big in New York City, Cosmos, Sex and the City, all that stuff was going on. And, you know, there were a lot of different names before I wrote down Golftini. And then I drew a picture of a martini, and my mother had passed away of breast cancer when I was young. And I, because some of my names were going to be about that. And this was before anything was about that. And I made the martini logo light pink, and it's always low and left. And it's because of breast cancer awareness. So That's my mom there. And then Golftini is my name.
It's wonderful.
And it's a great name. I mean, it really, I love the name. It's like who I am. Like, it's crazy that like, I wrote that down and that no one else had it. Like, I was at my first show, fast forward, and someone said, why don't you have that trademarked? And I said, oh, it's in the works. Because now I'm learning how to just like fake this whole thing. Because I didn't even know what a trademark was. I mean, I knew what it was, but I didn't think to trademark it. So I rushed home and trademarked it. But like, everything that I learned was kind of,
you know, on the fly.
A day on the fly. If I needed it, I figured out how to do it. So I am trying to be better now, 18 years later.
That's amazing. And it's you know, that's what, you know, follow your passion. I mean, it can be just like what happened for you. It's something you wanted, and then other people wanted what you had, and you have a business. You have an international business.
It's really insane, like, how that all happened. I did end up, that lady would go around at women and go to different country clubs in New Jersey and sell the squirts. And then someone would call my house phone. My kids would answer, like, take a message that Mrs. Smith wanted a blue plaid in a size 4 for Echo Lake. And then 1 year late, 1 week later, I would deliver it. I would actually drive it there because I didn't have, like, a FedEx account or a UPS account.
Sure.
Or, you know what I mean? I just would drive it there and deliver it. And, you know, I told them how much it cost because it was costing me, like, 5 times as much as I charged them. But I did, like, have the wherewithal to look at, like, how much things cost and price it. Like, it was higher price than most. And we are a higher price business. I started in New York for the first 7 years. And, you know, I didn't take into consideration, like, my time, my gas.
Right. All of those
parking,
things.
My babysitting, my, like, anything. I just was, you know, making these one-off sports and charging people. I think it was $125. It probably cost me $300 plus. I mean, I still don't even know that beginning part, but someone told me about a PGA show, a pro, and I said, what's that? And they said, well, it's like 50,000 people go. It's the biggest, like, show in our industry. And I'm thinking, I'm not even in this industry. Like, I'm a mom.
I have three boys.
I'm busy. And I didn't have any shirts. So, because I just said, wear your Lacoste. It comes in like 10 different colors. And that's what I was doing. So just, I don't have time to make a shirt. So I looked into this PGA show. And this was November, so it was really late because the show is always in January. And I decided to, like, do it. And my niece and my best friend and I'm like, will you guys go with me? And my niece was, like, living with me, helping with my kids at the moment. And I'm like, will you go to the show with me and help me figure this out? We need to make some shirts. I went to a seminar. And it was $10,000 to, like, get my booth. And it was like a 10 by 10. Well, it was like 5,000 to get my 10 by 10 booth in the worst section because it was so late. But then flights and hotel and, like, prep.
Sure.
It was like a line sheet and a banner and tags, hang tags and stuff. And I had to make shirts. So it was like, I didn't plan to do this. I didn't have this extra money to really do this, but I just was doing it. And so we went, and our first day we got a $70,000 order.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't even know what they were talking about. It sounded like a different language, the way they were ordering and talking, and I had 6 weeks. And I had asked Sherry, you know, hey, just in case I get an order, like, can you do it? And she's like, yeah.
Is this the lady who made you your first pair of shorts?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, she couldn't have done it. Well, I came back and she was like, no. But so we got this big order. And then we just got some attention because it was different. It was different than anything else at the time. It was feminine. It was actually PJ Tour Superstore. We're opening their very first stores. And they wanted me to come be the featured designer. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not a designer. And I went down to the grand opening. I figured out a way to make this happen in 6 weeks. That's a whole other story. But I ran into someone in the bathroom that I had met. And she's like, how's it going? And I said, well, I got this huge order, but I don't have a production person to make it. I mean, besides from I didn't have any money left or anything. So... And I had 6 weeks, and I didn't have fabric, and I didn't have anything to make that really happen. And I said I would do it. I mean, I took this order, and they don't pay you up front, which, like, everyone knows that in the industry now. But, like, I was like, well, when do you pay me? I didn't know terms. I really didn't know anything. It wasn't like you could just Google anything.
No,
like, it wasn't that easy.
Yes.
So I was in this girl, like, that I saw in the bathroom, and her husband, he was a production manager in New York, and I was in his office on Monday morning, and he helped me learn everything that I know.
Mike, you know, this is like I don't know, some superpower was holding your hand without you even knowing it, you know?
The thing is, when I think about it, it would be so much easier to just quit, right? Like,
you didn't
just
stop.
Don't do it.
Yeah, but you were.
No, I know. I still haven't stopped, though. That's the funny part.
Still haven't stopped. Yeah. But you're savvy now. You know what to do, right?
I know what to do now. I design all my own fabric now. I have teams. I have people that know more things than I know, which is like scary because I used to do every single thing, and letting go is hard. But I have a great team, and I still want to know everything, which is dumb, but I can't help it. It's fun. I mean, it really is fun. I get my nose in stuff that I should stay out of. But no, now I learned like along the way, I design my own fabrics now, and I like all the patterns. And then I learned how to put together collections. And like that is the most fun part. But that's like should be the biggest part of my job. And you know, our goal is to like get me to do that, like to just really focus in on that. But I'm, you know, I like doing what I'm doing right now. I love talking about my business. I love hearing about other people's business. Like it's fascinating to me how, like if you ever listen to any of those podcasts, like everyone kind of started in a way that I started, unless you had like a serious business plan and you had investors and you had like you had all the right things lined up and other people. But I just kind of, you know, I was still like, this was like a 10 to 3 job, and then like, you know, 10 at night to midnight job and 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. like when I could fit it in. But it was like becoming like full time, and I still was a full-time mom.
Right, with the three boys.
Now, yeah. So when they went to college, that's actually when we started growing rapidly. I'm not kidding. and they even played sports in college. So, like, I was still going to all these, like, things. So, and they are now, like, my biggest fans. My oldest, he works for me. My youngest, we were just on a FaceTime earlier this morning. And he's like, well, as part of the board, I'm like, I don't even have a board. He's like, well, I'm on it. I want to be involved. And we were talking about some other things we want to do.
Yes.
So they're like really proud. And, you know, they were annoyed when they were little because I was busy, right? They used to like sit outside the sunroom. That was the office. And I had people come into my house and work. And they would like sit in this chair, like it was like an office waiting room, like to ask me something if I was on the phone. Yeah. I mean, it really, when I think about it, it's like crazy.
But, Susan Hess,
yeah.
Owner and designer of Golf Teenie, you have to come back so we can talk about your different styles and where people can get them. I have just had such a good time talking with you. The time flies. And knowing how you put yourself together and persevered and just rolled with the punches and never flinched, I your story is important for people to hear. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, and you got to come back, okay?
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Susan Hess, owner and designer. It's Golf Teenie. Check it out. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh.
riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu. And congratulations, Derek. You won two rounds of golf, Poipu Bay. We've got two more to give away next week.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week, and author of Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning.
Good morning. Aloha. Hey, that is an incredible story you've written in Golf Week about your trip here to Hawaii. I'm reading it and I'm thinking, God, I want to use that as the intro. The guy on the canoe who's talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was...
Uncle George. It was moving. I'm still... it like kind of changed my life in a way. It was incredible how he... it was like a spiritual canoe ride. I had no idea. I thought he was going for a little canoe ride in the morning, but it was pretty amazing and a special day, a special trip. I got to spend close to 3 weeks, a lot of it in Maui, but also hopping around from island to island. And it was a dream come true to get to do something like that.
Yes. And you see, here in Hawaii, we're asking that our visitor industry be more culturally presented. Like, so if people come here, they learn what you learned about and to really have a deeper understanding of the culture, the religion, the way we interact with the water. You know, the sky, the stars, the earth, and the mana of the place, you know, the spiritual power of all the things that are combined to create where you live. And if we kind of treat the whole earth like that, we'll be much better off.
But for sure.
You know, but it's just like, and so I'm reading that. So how can we get that article?
Right now, it's just in Golf Week magazine, but I think it won't be too long before we post it online.
Oh, great.
I don't know the exact date, but it'll be coming. I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do. Please do, because it's just wonderful. What was his name again? The canoe guy?
Uncle George is what he
Uncle George. Called. Uncle George, was that Maui?
No, that was on the Big Island.
On the Big Island. Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay. Uncle George. Yeah, I'm going to read that, but not right now, because we've got the U.S. Open at LACC, as everybody likes to call it. You know, I think that's... nobody wants to say Los Angeles Country Club.
Right?
It's so strange. So, give me your impressions of how things are going.
I think it's been pretty good so far. I will say, you know, Thursday felt a little too much like the Bob Hope Desert Classic or the John Deere. I mean, the scoring was incredible. We've never seen that really. And it was the lowest scoring average in any major since 1983. And to think of, you know, the U.S. Open, we think of this brutal test that's going to expose any weakness in a player's game. And these guys were just having their way with LACC. A lot of it had to do with, you know, no wind and the marine layer that made the course a little soft so that the guys could really, you know, play aggressively. And But, you know, I think this weekend the sun was out this morning. I think it's going to dry out the green some more. And, you know, now that they've made the cut, I think initially this is the first time they played at this course, as you know, and the first time back in L.A. in 75 years, which is pretty incredible to think. And I think they just erred on the side of caution. They've had too many occasions where they've made the course too difficult or tricked it up, and they didn't want that to be the case. And, you know, they get beat up when they do that. And they maybe went a little too soft the first day. Some of the tees were up a lot, and they had their way with it. But I think we're going to see a real good challenge for these guys this weekend. And the good thing, you know, I think LACC is proving to be a worthy course, because look at this leaderboard. It is identifying some of the best players in the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited to see how it plays out this weekend.
Oh, I am too. Absolutely. And look at the missed cut. You know, what does that say? I mean, the Justin Thomas and 81, then there's Jason Day and Sungjae Im and Keegan Bradley and Adam Scott and Justin Rose and
Jordan Spieth. I thought Jordan Spieth might win there.
I know.
He was my pick.
Exactly. Exactly. And Phil Mickelson and Max Homa.
Yeah, that was a bit surprising. He's been struggling. He just hasn't really had that good week at a major yet. I don't think he has a top 10 in a major yet.
Yeah, yeah. And then John Rahm makes the cut on the number. What? Wait, were you?
Yeah, John Rahm seemed to lose his composure a bit yesterday, and I think I didn't see how he struggled on the last few holes. I went ahead and was watching Ricky come in, but I think that, you know, we've seen occasions where John will lose his temper, and sometimes it actually helps him. But I think it was to his detriment on Friday, and he's dug a pretty big hole, and maybe too many players ahead of him. But, you know, who knows? We've seen him. We saw him in Hawaii. He can go crazy low and
exactly
come from nowhere.
Exactly. I mean, he made the cut, you know, on the number, and as you said, he got angry with himself. And who knows how that'll inspire him to come back and take advantage of the energy that he's creating inside himself. But to see Ricky Fowler birdieing half the holes he played, that was amazing how comfortable he was.
Yeah, I think, you know, for Ricky, he's been great about saying how much he learned from the period of time that he's working with John Tillery, but it didn't work out between the two of them as swing coach and student. And he went back to Butch Harmon late last year. And I don't know, I think it's almost just like a safety blanket. The things that Butch says maybe gave him a bit of tough love as he has in the past, but he's got Ricky's swing looking a whole lot better. And the results have been there. He hasn't won yet. He hasn't won since 2019, but he is knocking on the door. And what he's been doing these first 2 days, like you said, burning half the holes at a U.S. Open through 36 holes is just outrageous. I don't know if he can keep it up at that pace. He's going to have to start making some pars at some point. But he's setting the pace through 36.
Yeah. Now, the you know, the scary part, of course, is it's sunny, right? Isn't it sunny?
It is. It's going to be. It's a beautiful day. I think it's going to be in the mid to high 70s even.
Yeah. And so the sun is going to dry things out a little bit more, although isn't the USGA doing a little bit more watering so it doesn't completely lose the course?
I think they're doing some stuff a little differently with the third hole. They've expressed some caution about that one. I think they're keeping a good eye on things, but they haven't had much rain out here in a while. So I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Oh no, I have total faith. I'm one of those people. I've got great respect for the USGA. They're not, you know, they do good work. And I'm just afraid that when you get used to something, you know, and then it gets really tough and glassy, that, you know, I just hope Ricky holds on, because it's so.
I know it's going to separate the men from the boys, but that's what we want it to be at the U.S. Open. So yeah, I don't think I'd be surprised if, you know, 15 under is going to be the winning score. I think it could be close to right around 10 where it is right now. And you know, with Rory and Xander and DJ,
yeah,
Scottie Scheffler all kind of lurking.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky's going to have to keep making a lot of birdies, I think.
Yes, exactly. And Dustin Johnson seems really, really comfortable, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you take away his quadruple bogey, he'd be tied for the lead right now.
I know. Well, there's that.
He had this one hole that he described it, I thought, pretty well, just saying, I chunked it, I bladed it. You know, it sounded like, you know, you or me describing how we make a snowman. It was pretty, once you got past that hole, he's playing some extremely good golf. It's been a while, really, since he won the Masters in the fall that year in 2020, since we've really seen him in the hunt at a major, or really, you know, he's had a couple successes on the LIV Tour, but, you know, that's 54 holes in a small field. So I don't, you know, you give how much credit to that you want. He's still a guy who's got so much talent and looking for his third major. So I think he will be part of the conversation this weekend for sure.
Yeah, and he looks very comfortable. I was reading, he's managed to keep friends, even though, you know, he went to live. There's something really easygoing about him. It's almost like a Teflon kind of guy. Teflon Don.
Yeah, you know, I think he was one of the few players who was honest and just said, yeah, I went for the money. It was too great.
Yes.
It was such a great offer for me and my family. And I think he felt that he's done everything he wanted to do on the PGA Tour. And so I think people appreciate that. And he also hasn't been outspoken. He hasn't talked down about the PGA Tour like some other players. He hasn't made it personal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these guys have always kind of gotten along with him. And he's kind of got that Fred Couples thing to him where everybody loves him.
Isn't that wonderful? She's honest. Nothing like a straightforward, honest person. I'll take them every time. Yes, I want the money. That's all there is to it. I like being rich. Okay? Filthy rich would be even better.
If I could have an offer he couldn't refuse.
Exactly. Exactly. $250,000 to join the LACC if they'll take me. You know, I'd like to have that kind of money. $30,000 a month? Sure. Boy, it's amazing that they've actually opened their club, don't you think? Why would they do that?
You know, I think that this club's kind of, like you said, been kind of shrouded in mystery all these years. It's considered one of the top 25 on the Golf Week's rankings of the best courses in the country, classic designs. I think for many years they did not want this. The USGA going back have wanted to go there for years. And, you know, back in the 50s and 60s used to say, we have a better chance of putting a man on the moon and getting LACC to host one of our tournaments. They had canceled a U.S. amateur in the 50s that ended up going to the Olympic Club instead because they had a U.S. junior and they didn't like the masses coming out to their club. And I'm not sure they love having all the, you know, the great unwashed out there this week either. There's a pretty limited crowd and most of the tickets went to corporate sales. So it's not one of the bigger properties. It's not like having this at Torrey Pines or Bethpage Black where they, you know, can have 50, 60,000 people out there. But it did feel like a pretty good crowd there yesterday, and I hope it'll be the same this weekend.
Yeah. I was talking to Michael Patrick Shields, and he was telling me, you know, one of the big sporting gods who owns lots of major teams, you know, he bought out this section, he bought out that section for his friends. So when you talk about, you know, corporate, there's lots of different corporates that bought a lot of tickets. Yes,
I think it's a great, architecturally a great golf course, but it's not a good viewing experience. I think you've got a much better seat watching it from home. I had a friend who came out, I was able to get a ticket for, and I walked with him outside the ropes it was really difficult. It was probably, it felt like being at Chambers Bay all over again, which is a tough one, tough walk, and hard to watch golf, hard to get from, you know, to move from one group to another. And he actually, when I had to go right, he said, I'm going to just go home and watch it instead and took off.
Thanks for the ticket, but I'm leaving.
Yeah.
We only have a couple more minutes in the show. I want to ask you, what is on the top of your mind? I mean, in the 2 minutes that we have, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm sorry. Is there something you wanted to say?
I wanted to say Happy Father's Day to all the listeners out there. And Golf Week has a father-son championship going on that we do annually. This is our 40th, and we honored Tony Finau's father as our Father of the Year this year. And we have a story up on golfweek.com right now if anyone wants to learn the incredible story about how Tony Finau, with an incredible long shot coming from very little to make it to the PGA Tour. It's pretty special story what his father did to help his son get to where he is today.
And Tony Finau is pretty darn close too, to the top of the leaderboard. He's in there.
Yeah, he is. He's at 3 under. Was a little higher till some of the last few holes got him, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Tony can make a run on the weekend.
Yeah, because he's sharp, and he spent a lot of time in Hawaii, and in the summers he would play for Turtle Bay, and
yeah,
really a great guy, great family, and I love him. And I was just thinking, you're the author of Dean Beaman, Golf's Driving Force. Jay Monahan having medical problems right now. When you compare the different styles of work, Jay is certainly having one of the tougher times, would you say?
Yeah, I think this is, unprecedented, the type of money that all of a sudden is coming into golf through the, Saudi Arabia's investment fund. I think it's something very different from what Dean had to face, but Dean had his time when the players wanted to get rid of him or revolt, and he was a very shrewd and working his way around that. And I think this is an interesting time for the PGA Tour. I definitely didn't see this partnership or agreement coming about as fast as it did. Jay's admitted he's looking like a hypocrite, and no one's going to question that. But I think in the long run, this might have been their best move. And I think in the after the players get over the fact that a lot of trust has been lost, the way things were handled, they may end up looking at this and seeing it as a deal that's probably going to be good for their wallets at least. We may not like where the money's coming from and some of the other infiltrations coming into golf, but for the PGA Tour, it may wind up being a pretty good situation.
Well, on the 10th day, the last day they had an opportunity to, the suits against each other were dropped officially, and they can't be reinstated. So that's a really good start. So good to have you inside the clubhouse. I love the story you wrote. I can't wait to be able to read it. I'll be able to read it, but I can't wait to share it with the audience, people who may not have seen your magazine, Golf Week magazine. And this is Adam Shupak. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us.
Anytime, Danielle. Have a great rest of the show.
You too. Aloha. Elwert, we're wrapping it up right now. Aloha Power Equipment's new megastore next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile. Thank you so much for being one of our sponsors. We put power at your fingertips at Aloha Power Equipment. And remember, you want to be ready for hurricane season. We're in the midst of it. It's just the beginning. So you want to get down to Aloha Power Equipment. Talk to them there. Find out what you could get to help make your family secure. MD Restoration, flood from the inside or out. You need MD Restoration anytime, day, night. It doesn't matter if disaster strikes. Call MD Restoration as licensed contractors. Not only can they do the cleanup, they can do the repair. 528-3434. Put that on your refrigerator. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful look, maximum security, quiet. It's your first safety zone, and the Rainer door adds value to your home. It's the perfect fit. Yes, call 676-3667. The latest in garage door designs, HawaiiDoor.com. HawaiiDoor.com. Honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA, and we're going to have them on to share some of the greatest tips, like from Claude Brousseau, to talk about how you can get better at your game. And CyPack for cybersecurity for your company or your organization, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii, online, CyPack.com. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.